Hello, dance fans, and welcome to the brand new So You Think You Can Dance Rehap Up. I am Lita Brillman, and I am joined today by the amazing host of the Dancing with the Stars Rehap Up, Kelly Bedard. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited that So You Think You Can Dance is back. It was like my original reality TV love.
Yes, yes. So you have been watching from the very beginning?
Very beginning, from when we had that weird not cat host. I don't even remember who she was.
Lauren Lopez, how dare you?
Okay, why am I supposed to know who that is? Who is that?
You are not required to know who that is.
No, but is she a person? Like, I don't...
As far as I know, she has not been a person since season one of So You Think You Can Dance. I've never seen her anywhere else, but... She has that amazing distinction of kicking off this fantastic show. Yes, I too have been there since the beginning, when Nick Lazzarini and Melody stole my heart.
Nick, this show, such a good spinner.
So good at spinning. this show has been very, very important to me. I think besides Survivor, it's definitely the show that has been the most influential in my life. It really inspired me to keep dancing. It's been on now for half of my life. It's been on for 11 years, which is crazy. So I was already a little bit of a dancer when it premiered, but it was something that really encouraged me to keep doing it. It's a show that is, I think, so inspiring and focuses so much on human stories as well as the dance. I think that it diverges from a lot of other competition dance reality shows in that it has a real reverence for individuality and originality. And it respects this idea of America's favorite dancer, not just America's best dancer.
So yes,
it encourages the personalities. Yes. So I could gush about So You Think You Can Dance all day. Would you like to jump in here with things that you love about the show?
Well, yeah, I really like, first of all, watching so much Dancing with the Stars, it is refreshing to go back to So You Think You Can Dance every once in a while to be reminded that, like, some people just can dance and it's not a big deal. And they don't, like, we're starting at a baseline of quality. Even the people who are, like, quote unquote, untrained and all that stuff, they know how to dance. They've got a baseline ability so that from there, the choreographers can really do whatever they want and they can really expect a lot from the contestants, which I love because you end up seeing a higher quality of dance. And that's really the main thing that I am attracted to in the show is the choreography. I think I love the personalities of the choreographers and I love how they watching them grow and change over the course of the series has been really interesting. It's not my favorite judging panel in the world. Although I will say it's something that I think Kat says in the opening of the new season is this is the best panel we've ever had because they've added Vanessa Hudgens and Mary Murphy is back. And I was like, wow, shade on everybody because they've had so many different judges. I love Jason Derulo. I love Adam Shankman. I love
you
Mia
love
Michaels.
Jason Derulo.
I did. I don't
this
know
is,
why.
This is a hot take to me.
I know. I just thought he was charming and I think he was fun and he seemed to know at least a little bit about dance.
You didn't find him creepy?
No. Okay, first of all, I think it's incredibly hard to seem creepy when you're sitting next to Nigel Lithgow, who is the king of all creepers.
There was literally
a moment when he was watching that jazz dancer in this episode where he like started to fan himself. And
yeah.
I was like, hold up.
Oh, Nigel.
It's like my number one least favorite thing about So You Think You Can Dance is when Nigel's like commenting on 18-year-old girl bodies. So first of all, it's impossible to be creepy next to Jason Derulo or next to it's impossible for Jason Derulo to be creepy.
Yes.
Next to
at least Jason Derulo is like a handsome young guy.
Exactly. And I don't know. He didn't bother me at all. I liked him. But like there's been tons of people on the judging panel over the years. And for Kat to come out with like, this is our best panel ever. Thoughts and feelings on this, Lita?
No, that is not accurate, Kat. I'm sorry. It is a better panel than last year. Well,
wait, I didn't watch last year. It was the only season I didn't watch because I had no interest in children.
I was about to say, full disclosure, we are both super fans. We've seen every episode of the show, except neither of us watched last season.
But who was on the judging panel?
I don't know. By last season, I meant the last season that I watched, which was when it was Paula Abdul and Jason Derulo.
Yeah, Paula Abdul. I forgot about that. That was,
And I actually thought Paula was okay because I, for a while, dropped off in the last couple of years. But for a while, I was a massive American Idol fan. Mm. So I didn't mind seeing Paula Abdul because so much of the show was built off of the success, Fox's success with American Idol. So they're just kind of trying to recapture that, I think. But you can't have Paula and Mary. They're the same archetype.
Yeah.
You just can't do that. So I didn't care for really the judging panel of just like, here's a pop star and here's someone who's now like famous for being a judge and Nigel is still here. You know, I like to see the choreographers and I love Mary. I don't know if people disagree with that, but she to me represents so much of the history of the show. How do you feel about Mary and her being back?
Okay, so I'm really happy she's back. She is a staple of the show. The way that people during the Dancing with the Stars podcast, we got a lot of pushback on our opinion on Len, and the pushback tended to be because people really felt like he was the show, like he's been there since the very beginning, he's a cornerstone of the show, and the obvious comparison is Len to Nigel. He's sort of like old British guy, central to the show, blah blah blah. But to me, I've never liked Nigel, but Mary is like the heart of that judging panel. She's the icon. She's the my father would wander in when we used to watch it, and he'd be like, "Where's Mary?" And we'd be watching Dancing with the Stars. Like he had no idea, but the only thing he knew about, so you think he'd dance, was Mary and her screaming. So I think she's the icon. If you want to talk a little bit about the idea of carrying the show's history, especially because the cat, who was, you know, is one of the greatest hosts ever. But she wasn't even there in season one. So it's nice to have Mary. She was there for season one, right? I'm not speaking out of
turn. Yes, she was.
So I love her. I love that she's a real dance expert. I like that she's a specialist, too. I like this idea of having someone on the judging panel who's specific to ballroom, someone who's specific to, I guess, tap, whatever it is Nigel does. And then like somebody else, I would like to have, you know, too bad World of Dance exists, because they could have gotten, I think if we're looking for a celebrity who dances, we should have gone with Jenna Dewan Tate.
Jenna Dewan, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
She's the get for that. And it's interesting because this show is in direct competition with World of Dance, airing at the same time. And you can already see Nigel having some like weird competitive sides come out this year, where he made this like awkward comment about Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, we will get to that.
And they promoted Mandy Moore and all this stuff. So I don't know. I love Mary. I'm glad she's back. The yelling's a little much for me, but she really knows what she's talking about. And you're allowed, just like with Bruno, you're allowed to have this crazy, wacky personality if behind it is real solid understanding of the technique and things.
Yes, absolutely. She's got her scream. She's got the hot tamale train. She's great for branding for the show.
Although she has to be more careful about who goes on the hot tamale train. It's not just everybody who's going straight through.
I know. And, you know, it used to be a very discerning, prestigious league that you could only get if you were, you know, doing something in the top 20. I think maybe Pasha and Anya were the first people on it. And now just you can just walk in an audition getting the hot tamale train.
You had to be doing like a samba. It had to be relevant to like being a hot tamale. Like you can't just do like a really good b-boy routine and be a hot tamale train.
Yes. She was just so excited to be back. She was crying all over the place. This was Mary playing all the hits. She was screaming. She was crying. She was doing the hot tamale train. I think maybe she just missed being back. Speaking of World of Dance, have you checked it out at all? I feel like we should touch on that because
I haven't watched it. I have only so much time in the summer for television, and Big Brother is about to come back and take 3 hours of my week, and I couldn't. Although, you know, I'm assuming people who listen to this podcast mostly listen to the Dancing with the Stars podcast, too. So they know my feelings about one Mr. Derek Huff. And I love J-Lo. I, too, was a big American Idol fan. And I'm the weird person who likes the final season judging panel with J-Lo and Harry Connick Jr. So I love her. Jenna Dewan Tatum's fabulous and really the only celebrity who should be doing dance stuff. But I haven't watched it. What's the format of that?
So I watched the premiere, which may even be a little generous. I'm not sure I finished the episode. It was a well-produced show, and I understand the appeal. It was just not really for me, especially knowing that So You Think You Can Dance was about to come back and Dancing with the Stars had just ended. I didn't really, maybe if I had a void in dance shows, then I would watch it. But the format is that there's the three judges that you just mentioned, and people come out and there are three categories. I won't get too much into it because this is not a podcast about World of Dance, but they do it for juniors, adults, and dance crews, and people come out and do it. The magic for me was lost because everybody who tried out was already really good, and then they were judged against each other. So it was already kind of like skipping to semifinals or something like, or like skipping to the top 20 portion of So You Think You Can Dance. It kind of like felt like it started there, and I didn't know who these people were or how they got there, and they didn't explain it. And part of why I love American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance so much is because it's kind of this idea that any person can just walk off the street and they can win, or they can make a name for themselves. Even if they don't have formal training or connections or whatever, all you have to have is the talent. And this felt like, I'm sure these people are amateurs. I just don't know who they are or where they found them. So it didn't feel organic like So You Think You Can Dance does,
right?
If that makes sense.
And it's such a tricky line between like, what does amateur mean? And this was something that American Idol faced a lot, the idea of, can you audition if you had a record contract in the past and all this kind of thing. Like Twitch, before he was on So You Think You Can Dance, was in the movie Hairspray as a dancer. Like people were doing professional gigs,
and Allison Holker, his wife, was in High School Musical with Vanessa Hudgens as a dancer.
She was full circle. Speaking of Vanessa Hudgens, just to jump right in, what do you think? Do we think that she has the like dance cred to actually pull this off?
So I like Vanessa Hudgens as a person, as a performer. It's no secret at all that I absolutely love the High School Musical franchise.
Really?
I love it. So to be clear, I was like 10 when that first movie came out. So I was like right in that demo. So maybe part of it is nostalgia, but I really have always gone back to it. I watched it again a couple months ago and I still love it. I don't know. It's just so pure and wholesome, and it's good music and it gets me hype. So I'm a big fan of Vanessa Hudgens. But when they introduced her as like actress, singer, dancer, I just have no idea. Maybe she is a dancer, but I just don't know. She didn't really dance in those movies besides during We're All in This Together dance. So I have no idea what her credibility as a dancer is. And even if she is a great dancer, I feel like that is a problem, because I want to watch someone who's an established dancer who I know I can trust talk about these things. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I do think that these shows have a tendency to lump, especially musical theater, but also pop stars, like anybody who is perceived as, they're really double threats, but they're called triple threats because acting apparently doesn't count. They just get credit for all three prongs, even if they only do the one. Yeah. So people who are in musical theater, if they're in music, like how Julianne Hough is referred to as a singer now, and like she can sing
because she was in Grease Live.
Yeah, but like she can sing. Like she's not a terrible singer, but she's a dancer who like can sing. That's not the same thing as being a singer, and vice versa. And I think that's what's happening with Vanessa Hudgens. And we wouldn't want to watch Julianne Hough judge a singing competition.
No.
Whereas I think we'd all be okay with Vanessa Hudgens doing a singing competition, especially after Grease Live, where she was unbelievably
phenomenal.
Good. She was the best thing about that, and I really loved the whole thing. So I'm gonna be patient with her because of Grease Live credibility, but like and she was so cute in the premiere when she got up and danced, and she was fun, but we'll see.
Yeah, she's very charismatic. There are worse things she could do, this Vanessa Hudgens.
well done.
We'll always make a musical theater reference. So speaking of references to set up this podcast, I will probably be making too many to old contestants and old seasons,
but sure.
I will very much try to make this accessible to people who are new to this show, who are new to this podcast. I really want people to appreciate the show, not just from a technical perspective, but from how great these people are. Every year, you know, I fall in love with someone or many people usually. And it's really about so much more than the dance. So I hope to really make that clear through this podcast, even though I will probably be like, this was just like when this person in season 2, remember when Danny Tidwell in season 3 did this thing?
All time.
Amazing. So I just read your mind. But yeah, so I will probably be doing a little bit of that, but hopefully won't make this podcast inaccessible to people who are new, because this show is amazing and everybody should watch it.
Before we start, can we, so we did talk a little bit about this in the one episode of Dancing with the Stars that we did together, but I think you are an actual dancer who knows a lot about dancing, whereas I'm a dance fan who knows a lot about dance but can't actually do anything. So I think that it's very important to inform the listeners of exactly your whole dance background, and I'm gonna check in with you on a bunch of like technical stuff every dance. I'm gonna be like, so was it actually good in like an actual would a professional dance like someone looking to hire these people actually hire them, or are we reading too much into story and stuff like that? So tell us a little bit about your technical background, just so that the audience knows that we're dealing with an expert here.
Expert is a strong word.
Expert more than Vanessa Hudgens, and that's what we'll say.
Perhaps more than Vanessa Hudgens. So I was one of those kids who took dance classes from when I was like 5 years old. And so it was something that I always grew up surrounded by. And then in like fifth or sixth grade, I got really into musical theater. So kind of that style of dance, and specifically tap, became what I spent the most time on. I dabbled in ballroom hip hop, mostly as influenced by So You Think You Can Dance. Like, I watched Ivan pop and lock, and I was just like, I want to do that. So I took some classes, but didn't really stick with it. And then in college, I became a member of a dance team here at the University of Michigan. And so I became a competitive dancer for 3 years. And so that's where a lot of my knowledge comes from, because I never did competition dance before that. And this show is a competition dance show. So it's a very specific style of dance that's judged in a specific way. And so, yeah, it's something that I've been surrounded with my whole life. A lot of these things, you don't even need to get too technical, especially with the auditions. You can tell when someone is good or bad. So I probably won't be thrown around a lot of terminology, and when I do, I will try to define it, because I want people to learn about dance.
Also, because I don't know the definitions, so you're gonna have to. I'm gonna be like, "What's that mean?" And that,
I'm sure from Dancing with the Stars. I mean, the most complicated stuff in terminology is ballroom. So I'm sure the fact that you know what a samba roll is, I think, automatically puts you above the average person.
Yeah, but it's also one of those things where, like, they're doing a specific move on the stage and Nigel goes, "Nice samba roll." And so you're just like, well, I think that's probably a samba roll.
Yes. And hopefully they'll be doing more of that. I think that they do. The show does a good job of making it very accessible to non-dancers and inspiring a lot of people to start dancing, no matter how old you are. You know what your background is.
I mean, we open with this montage that's just like, dance is majestic and wonderful and changed my life. And it's so earnest and beautiful. And I was just like, you're right. Dance does change lives. It was so, I just love how just like sweet and totally unselfconsciously, they're just like, dance is special. Just makes me happy.
If there's absolutely no irony to this show or love to it. My enjoyment of it, which I think if anybody listening to this listens to the American Ninja Warrior podcast, they know that I can be very cynical and sometimes a little down on how over the top some of these video packages are. But I watch So You Think You Can Dance just without a hint of irony. I just love it so much. And it's so unapologetic for what it is, even though it is so over the top and ridiculous sometimes, and just campy and schmaltzy and everything, but it's so proud of what it is, I think, and it's just so infectious. Dance is great.
Dance is so great. It's so good. So should we jump in? We're in LA for the auditions.
Yes. So this is part.
Yeah. Oh. I have one question first. You also didn't watch last season, but when did we start calling Vegas the Academy?
Okay. Yes, I couldn't remember if this was just me being a casual and they started doing this a couple years ago, or if it was last season. And I
mean, it must have been the kids, right? Like the Academy when it was the kids.
Maybe. I don't know. Is the Academy still in Vegas or is it somewhere else?
It's probably just in L.A.
Yeah, probably. But you're going to Vegas was so iconic.
Yeah, but I feel like they kind of did that in Vegas specifically because they American Idol already had You're Going to Hollywood, and they couldn't do like steal
also in LA. Yeah. So after this montage, we get the rules, the basic audition rules. We are in night one of the LA auditions. We're going to get more LA auditions next week. And so what happens is they do their solo and then, or their duet, whatever it is. And then they either get sent home. It's not right for this competition. They go to the Academy, which is what they now call Vegas, apparently, where they, which is basically just advancing to the next round. They're going to the Academy. They're going to do choreography. They're going to do group work. They're going to cry and get hurt and all that stuff.
Do like the boot campy kind of thing.
Yes. Which is the best part of the show, in my opinion. And the other option is that they go to a Mandy Moore choreography round, and we did not see any of this tonight, which was strange.
Creative producer Mandy Moore. Get it right. Because
we go to La La Land choreographer Mandy Moore.
They're so worried about losing Mandy Moore because she is there an Oscar for choreography? If there is, she won it. And she's been doing all of the opening numbers on Dancing with the Stars, and she's like become something of a sort of name choreographer in Hollywood, which in as much as there is that as that's a thing. So they're clearly very scared of losing her. So they're like, here, take a meaningless title. So she's creative producer now. Very important.
Yes. Yes. Creative producer, La La Land choreographer. Mandy Moore has a creatively produced La La Land choreography round. No, I have no idea if it has anything to do with La La Land because we didn't see it. No one went to the choreography round today, which was very strange. But I'm assuming we'll get maybe a big group next week to kind of finish off the LA auditions. So that is how that works. Mary Murphy is back. She's taking selfies. We introduce Vanessa Hudgens. Everybody looks great. Vanessa Hudgens is wearing some sort of Jedi outfit that I'm into. And let's dive right in to our first auditioner. We have Mark Villaver from Honolulu. Yes. So we start out strong with this kind of emotional package. His mom is deaf and she is a locker. She's a dancer with her twin sister. And that's how he got into dance. So we got some clips of his mom dancing and him signing with his mom. And it's beautiful. What did you think of this package?
Oh, my God. So great. So good. I loved how he had a really interesting story that but we didn't actually focus on it that much. He wasn't looking for sympathy or extra credit or like he was good enough on his own that we didn't feel the need to like make his mom come up on stage or anything like that. Even though obviously what a fascinating person to be a dancer who can't hear music is extraordinary. And so like, that's so cool. But he was so compelling on his own. He was so fun and so just like light up the room charming. And he was a great dancer who had a very specific type of dance that not everybody does. And I thought it was beautiful and wonderful. And I love him forever. And he's in the top 20. Come on, obviously.
He's in the top 20. Okay. Kelly is calling her shot. The audition room is so lit. Everybody's so excited. And he definitely was the right person to kick it off. So he calls his style of dance Thera, short for therapeutic. It's a combination of breaking and contemporary, and they all do this big, nice breathing exercise. So I am with you that this guy is great. I'm very into his personality. The dance itself was a little bit interesting because I felt like his breaking was great. And it was far better than any of the contemporary skills he showed. So I was a little thrown off because all of the actual hip hop and breaking parts were so great, but then he didn't really have a ton of the grace to tie it together. It just kind of read to me like just breakdancing, but to slow music instead of hip hop music. However, the breaking was fantastic. It was definitely unique. It stuck out in my mind. It reminded me a little bit of Hawk from the Hummingbird routine, where there was like that really sharp movement, but then also this kind of fluidity and this delicateness to it. So, of course, Mary loves it. I'm so happy to see Mary and Nigel back together having their first banter of the season.
I love when she's mean to him.
Yes. Yes. I relate to that so much. Just being mean to another person, judging other people from perhaps behind a microphone.
You can name drop Taryn, that's fine.
Just being a loud woman being mean to a subdued man. It really is a dynamic that I'm very familiar with.
Oh yeah, because Nigel and Taryn have so much in common.
So much in common. Are you kidding?
Also, we can never call Nigel subdued again. That's not right.
Yeah, he's subdued when he's annoyed with Mary sometimes. Sure. So they have their first banter. Mary puts him on the hot tamale train, which, all right, it's a little too soon, Mary, as we mentioned. This is literally the first person. But he is going straight to the academy, which I assume you are not surprised by.
No, I mean, he's great. I do take your point about the contemporary, but I think that he's quite explicitly a street dancer. Mm-hmm. So the contemporary, I don't think he's claiming to be a trained contemporary dancer. I think he is sort of just doing like slow breaking and calling it something else. But I yeah. think that the ability, or at least the fact that he's tuned into that world and he's trying to be a little bit more melodic, will give him a step up on the other street dancers when it comes to the stage dance stuff. It's not going to give him, he's obviously not going to be able to compete on that level with the stage dancers, but compared to the other street dancers, I do think he'll be a little bit more tuned to that world. So I think he's going to be really good. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't in the top 20, to be honest. Especially he's the first guy we see. He's like the first guy out of the limo, right?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I agree with you. And it's interesting that you bring up the stage versus street, because that was a theme for a season. And we had a question from Nancy Wright Greenshield. She said, so am I right in thinking that they are not doing anything gimmicky this season? I'm on board if it's back to basics. Are we saying that this is so you think can dance back to basics?
Hopefully. It looks like it will be. And that's great, right? Like,
yes,
the one season you do that after a season full of a couple of seasons of gimmicks in a row, I think can be really refreshing.
Yes, I thought that the stage versus street season was good because of a lot of the people who were on it. But I think those people would have made it onto any season. And I think that the theme didn't help it at all, especially because a stage dancer won, which yeah. I felt like
obviously
was not the point.
Yeah. And also they literally had someone quit. The winner of So You Think You Can Dance Canada, a guy named Dennis, who was an incredible dancer, literally quit the season because he was like, I want to be on a season where ballroom has a real fighting chance. And it kind of even though they claimed that ballroom was going to be a big part of it, still ballroom just kind of got edged out.
Yes.
And they literally lost someone who had won the Canadian version, and winning the Canadian version is not like winning like the version in, you know, God knows where. Like, the Canadian version was really good. So I don't know. I did not love that season. I'm glad we're not doing gimmicks. We are doing All Stars, which I love because, we both have such fondness for the previous contestants. And also, dance is such a hard world that even after you've quote unquote made it, it's still so hard to get like paying jobs. So I'm happy to just have like somebody employing Marco consistently.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see the All-Stars. But other than that, I don't think we're going to do anything really gimmicky, which I'm hoping for.
Thank God. Yeah, yeah, we don't need any gimmicks. So speaking of ballroom having a fighting chance, we have Christina and Vasily up next. And they are married, but they can't agree on how long they've been married.
Oh, my God. This was my moment of like, I love Kat so much.
Kat is always great. And maybe I just forgot how great she was, but she is particularly great in this episode, I think.
So warm and funny. And she just makes you feel like she's your best friend in the whole world. I just love her so much. Like, she does this like really loud, really genuine laugh at the end of this video package that's like heartwarming.
Yes. So these two, they look like your very classic Russian ballroom couple. They're gorgeous. They get up to the stage and the judges are like, oh, they're so pretty. So I'm already getting the sense that this is going to be a good routine. And they start with the man has a blindfold on. Vasily has a blindfold on, and they kind of have this story. And I always like that in a ballroom routine because I think it's really easy. And we'll probably touch on this a little more with some other dancers, but I think it's really easy for the first round for auditions to do a really safe routine where you know that you just want to show off all the technique possible and get through the next round. And that works, but it's not necessarily memorable. So I liked that they really built up to their routine. They trusted that they would be engaging enough for Nigel not to stop the music before they got into their big spins. And they do a spin where they're connected at the lips, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. I also, the thing I love the most about this routine, and you're right, this idea that Nigel can cut you off. And so they had to be really confident in order to execute this. But the dynamics of this routine were really cool. It started quite slow and soft. And as it went on, it got faster, it got louder, and it just got more energetic. And it was really cool to watch that build. And because I like a routine that plays with multiple levels throughout, because a lot of routines are sort of like, this is a slow routine or this is a fast routine. And yes, this one had a lot of different dynamics, which I liked.
Yes, it wasn't the most electrifying routine from the get-go, but obviously they have so much poise and technique, and they have a hug at the end that's just so cute. And I am with Mary and Vanessa, who are just like obsessed with this love story, because I am also just obsessed with romance. So I was totally in on this. And they get a standing O, and Mary is crying for some reason. And Mary says that this is the first time she's cried over a ballroom routine in the history of the show. And I'm not going to fact check that, but that sounds wrong.
I don't know. I could see that being right, actually, because a lot of ballroom routines are sort of storyless. And the thing that makes her cry is the stories pretty much every time.
Yes.
The reason she said she was crying here was that the way that ballroom gets overlooked, and the idea that this, especially this being so story driven, like all the popular routines on the show, might make people fall in love with ballroom the way that some of those original, like Bleeding Love, made people fall in love with lyrical hip hop in a way that they hadn't before. And those sort of big, the bench routine and contemporary, like those things that made kids want to dance that style, that hasn't really happened on the show for ballroom. They've never had that big breakout, look how fun this is, look how beautiful the storytelling is. And I think she was just having this moment where she's like, my little niche thing that only people who like it is finally having a moment where I feel like people who watch this show, not really for the dancing, but for the stories, are going to connect with it. And I think she kind of felt understood, and like she was reaching out to them for the first time. And I think she found that really moving, and I found that really moving.
Yes, that's a really good point that I haven't really thought about, that while there are a lot of ballroom routines from the show that I can think of that I absolutely love, they aren't ones that I would like show to someone who's not necessarily super interested in dance and be like, look how amazing this is, like I have with other styles of dance, like particularly like Broadway routines, like stuff that gets people really amped up, even if they don't know anything about the dance style. I can't really think of anything that would have gone even remotely viral or anything like that with ballroom. So that is a very good point. And that's a shame, because ballroom's amazing.
Yeah, I think that, I just think that's why she's excited there, and that's why she's crying. And I think it was a lovely moment.
Yeah, I am very curious to see how this goes at the Academy, because seeing these two separated is one thing, and then seeing them do different styles, you never know with people like this. You could have people that really can't branch out, and then you have ballroom dancers that really surprise you. So this will be interesting. It's always fun to watch pairs, or really not fun when they get split up.
I imagine she'll go further than him. One, because she's closer to the age of the rest of the contestants, and two, because Nigel kept going on and on and on about her and never really mentioned him. So if one, only one of them gets through, I think it'll be her, but you never know. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. So then we have Nigel give us a little moment. Do you want to take us through this?
Oh, no, like I don't even think it's really worth talking about. I think it's just him being competitive with Dancing with the Stars is all.
Yes. Nigel blows a raspberry at the camera and says, take that, Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. And I mean, on one hand, I totally understand his perspective on this, because like they basically, Dancing with the Stars has been using So You Thinking Dance as a feeding pool, basically. Like,
yes,
tons of people of their pros have come from So You Think You Can Dance, and that must annoy them greatly. And they've taken Mandy Moore. And so I could see it really bothering him. That said, grow up, who cares, move on. Like, it don't, and definitely don't give them lip service on your show.
Yeah.
Like, because the one thing So You Think You Can Dance has on Dancing with the Stars is that it's like legit dancing.
And Dancing with the Stars, while very interesting for some of its dance routines, generally it's only by the last week that you're even starting to get the sort of routines you get on week one of the finals of So You Think You Can Dance. So that's his sort of thing to stand on, is this idea that they're legit dancers and they don't even think of Dancing with the Stars as competition. But a moment like this really points out that, yes, they really do think of Dancing with the Stars as competition. And it just it's not good. It's not a good look.
Yes, I completely agree. Don't say the title of your rival show on your show. Yeah. You don't need to drag them down to make yourself to build yourself up, Nigel. Mm-hmm. You're better than this. Yeah. So one thing that suffers a little bit in this hour-long episode rather than 2 hours is that we don't get to see as many bad dancers. We have to come back from a commercial break, and we get a little montage of someone who did his entire routine with his back to the judges, which I thought was funny.
It was sort of like weird, like on-point hip-hop, which was weird. It was like he was like doing balletic hip-hop.
Oh, yes. Into it. But unfortunately, we never saw his face. So we get back into it with Robert Green, the 24-year-old from North Carolina. He is a violinist and he got scholarships for that, even though and then he didn't start dance until high school and then quit violin, I guess, or at least left his scholarships for violin to pursue dance, because the freedom of dance contrasted with this idea of the rigidity of violin, I suppose. I don't know anything about string instruments, but that sounds legit to me. And he is very interesting, charismatic. What did you think of Robert?
I thought he was incredibly boring, and I referred to him in my notes as violin guy. First of all, once you have the technique down, obviously you have to learn the technique. But once you have your baseline, violin can be really free and really fun. You can go into fiddling. You can play some of those crazy Brandenburgs that go so fast that your fingers fly. Like,
Kelly, are you a musician?
I played violin as a kid, but like you can... Okay. You can do violin in a way that's incredibly free. And then on mm-hmm. the other hand, there's ballet, right? So this ridiculous generalization of like what violin is versus what dance is. And he didn't say what my style of hip hop is. He said what dance is. And I'm there. I'm just like, I'm sorry. That is not like all those dancers at the bar with their bleeding feet. Like, that's just not. That's not a realistic understanding of these two mediums. And it's such a limiting idea. This really annoyed me. I thought he was really boring. Whatever. Violin guy, I'm over you. I don't care.
Oh, my God. I'm not used to being the less shady person. This is great.
Oh, yeah. I'm a grump. Poor Angela was like, why do you hate everything on the Dancing with the Stars podcast? I was like, I don't know, but I do.
Okay. That is completely understandable and something I didn't even think about when he said dance is more rigid than violin, which now that I say less rigid, which now that I say it does sound ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I loved his dancing. There was some crump. There was some locking. There was some like physical comedy, like voguing. There was a lot.
Yeah, he was there. Fine. He was like,
and
a
I thought
dancer.
That he was. I thought that he was very fun to watch. I was nervous when I was watching this that the judges would not be as receptive to this as they were. And I was pleasantly surprised throughout the night with how open the judges were to kind of out of the box dancing, which is good. They should be. I was kind of thinking when I was watching this, like, oh, this is the guy who, if I was out at the club on a Friday night, like all eyes would be on him. He would be the best dancer in the place. But is he really right for a competition like this? So I thought that he was going to go to choreography, but I'm actually glad that they're taking this America's favorite dancer seriously, because I think that he is someone who could gain a lot of traction with audiences who people would really connect with and like to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I did have a moment where I thought some of his like fierceness would bring out Nigel's latent homophobic side, which has happened before with some of the guys who are like voguing and things like that.
And Nigel asks them to be more masculine.
Yep. And so like this guy had a few moments where I was like, oh, dear, we're going to get that moment. But I do think that Nigel has grown up a little bit over the course of the series and has figured out how to not be a gross person. So I was glad to be spared that. I think this guy is sort of a middle
Academy person, like someone who's going to go home after the Travis Wall category.
Travis Wall, now you just die.
He's going to hit the Travis Wall.
Yes, I love that. Yes, I agree with you. I don't see him going super far in this competition. I am glad that the judges are giving him a chance, though.
Yes, no, I will grant you that. And I was annoyed by the violin thing because I'm like, other people have skills too. Like, that's not a story. I didn't think he deserved a video package, but I think his dancing was perfectly fine. Like, he was fine. He was great. We'll send him straight through. We're good.
Okay. So he is going to the Academy. So next up, we have Alexis Gilbert from California. She's a jazz dancer and she is very nervous. And that is all we get in her package.
She was a very good dancer. Mm-hmm. But she, to me, was like, I think she'll be in the top 20 because, you know, but there's so many girls exactly like her in the sort of history of the show. She reminded me a lot of Haley, who's now on Dancing with the Stars, mm-hmm. or I'm sure there's a girl named Lauren at some point who looks like this person.
Lauren Gottlieb, maybe?
Or like a Sarah. There's probably a Sarah or like an Emily.
She reminded me of there was one girl. I don't even remember her name. I think it was probably Jessica, just statistically.
Jessica. With the blonde hair?
Yes. She was a jazz dancer. She did a very sexy version of jazz.
Yes.
For her audition and in her solo. So this was just like that. This is a very classic competition jazz routine. It's technically flawless. It has all of your turns, your jumps, your flexibility tricks, a little bit of booty shaking to break it down. There's like, you know, the sex appeal that people, particularly Nigel, always love from these young jazz dancers. It was great. But absolutely nothing about this was original.
Yeah, no, she was there. There are so many women in the history of the show who are exactly like this person whose names we don't remember, is my point.
Yes, exactly. And I think the best case scenario for Alexis Gilbert is that this was one of those routines that she just threw everything technical that she had at the judges to make sure that she got to the next round, and maybe she has a lot more originality that she can show, but she wanted to play it safe just to get through.
Maybe she has a personality, but we will see one day.
We will never know.
She's also, I think she's the 18-year-old, right? So she's, or that's not right.
No, she's 22. I don't actually have her age written down. Yeah, she's 22.
Darius is the 18-year-old, but she gave me that feeling of someone who's sort of been waiting for her chance to audition for the show and probably grew up with the show. And I think actually this season, we're probably going to see an overall better pool of contestants because they did take that year to do the kids last year. We were starting to get that feeling of like all of the contestants were these 18-year-olds who'd been waiting to qualify because everybody else had already auditioned. Yeah. And so this year we're getting it sort of like a double cohort year because we're getting everybody who didn't get to audition last year. So I do think we have a lot of those people who've been like waiting for their opportunity. And she strikes me as one of those people who's like always known she was going to audition for So You Think You Can Dance one day and has had this routine like locked and loaded.
Yeah. And this is actually something that is kind of crazy to think about because she's my age. So this, you know, is logical to me. She was 10 when the show started. But these people who are 18, they were 6 when this show started. They oh my gosh, I mean they really can. This could have been the thing that inspired them to really take their very first dance class, and that wouldn't have even been unusual. I mean, if you're a competition dancer, it's unusual to start dancing at like 10 or 11. That's a little bit late because so many of these competitions are geared towards teenagers. But there are people who could have seen this show when they were 6 and taken their first dance class and be completely ready for a competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
It's crazy. It is. It's one of the ones that makes you feel really old. American Idol goes first, but this is the second show where you're like, oh,
because
man, they're younger than
16-year-olds can go on American Idol.
Yeah. But they're not usually all 16, right? Like there's usually one or two 16-year-olds. The last couple years before they did the kids season of So You Think You Can Dance, every contestant was younger than me. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst thing.
Yes. Truly horrifying.
Yeah.
So next up we have Luke Drzyzewski.
So this
maybe.
Is our only bad person who got like a really long segment, right?
Yes, which is tragic because So I think Candance has a lot of really iconic, terrible auditions dating all the way back to Sex from the very first seasons, who would come back every single year with the stage name Sex. And I miss him.
Do you? So, I've never liked the bad auditions.
Oh my gosh, I love the bad auditions.
I always felt like they bothered me more on American Idol than they did on So You Think You Can Dance, because most of the ones on So You Think You Can Dance did seem to have a bit more self-awareness, like I'm doing this for a joke, as opposed to just being told that you're bad when you don't think you are.
Yeah, that's true.
One thing I will say is I think that I love how Mary is so kind to this person. And I think that that's actually one of the reasons the producers don't show a lot of the bad auditions on this anymore, because the point of those is to be funny. And the reason people like them on American Idol is because then it was really satisfying when Simon was really mean to them. But Mary she's just like, what you do is very unique and entertaining, and I enjoyed it, but it's not quite right for our show. And she just treats them like they're serious people who deserve her kindness. And I find it really touching, even though it was, this guy's shoe fell off in the middle of his routine and he looked like Cochran if Cochran was less cute somehow. Like,
yes. Luke is also 29, very old for this show. I imagine that Luke was not expecting very much out of this. He's previewed all night in the coming up, and then he has little package where you just know that this is not someone who's gonna do well. Kat is very funny in her interview with him. We could spend all night gushing about Kat, but she really can talk to anyone. Doesn't matter if there's a language barrier or like the most different person in the world from her. Like, all of these interview segments are so funny to me.
Yeah. She's an interesting one, because her job in the world is host. She's not like an actress who became a host or a singer, or Carson Daly or whatever. Like, she is like, her job is to be a host. That's like all she's known for in the U.S. is hosting this one show. And she's so good at it. Yes. She really has just the one skill set, and it's extraordinarily good.
I mean, that said, I still won't watch her new show that she's hosting. But
what's her new show?
It's also about children. It's called Little Shot, Big Shot, maybe. But it's about kids. So not really
for
me.
She did briefly have like a weird dating show that I thought was pretty funny.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it did not last long.
Yes, must have missed that one. Luke talks about how he's a musician and he started dancing 4 years ago. Nigel starts laughing before he even finishes a sentence, which is never a good sign. Nigel calls him the Austin Powers of hip hop, which the resemblance is just that they both have glasses.
Yeah.
And then he continues to go onto the floor and just kind of spasmically move about. This was my roommate walked in while I was watching this. She's never seen the show. And she just said, this is me at the club. And it's just like just really going for it.
If you're going to the club, I think that's like, what I always think of is a wedding, right? Like, this person's the greatest person at the wedding. Like, someone who doesn't care that they look stupid and they're just going for it and they're having fun and it doesn't matter. That's great. That's my favorite person at the club. Not that I've ever been to the club, but like, but you just go away. I'm so thinking and dancing. Like, you're looking for attention. That's not appealing. But on a dance floor, I think this person who just, it's like total abandon and joy, I'm all for that. That's great.
Yeah. And the judges hit him with the, it was so fun. Good for you for coming out here. Vanessa is like, oh, you're so cute. I just want to dance with you. And then she gets up on the stage and dances with him. And then as he's leaving in his little last confessional, he criticizes Vanessa's dancing. He's like, she was fine. She wasn't amazing or anything.
Well,
like,
agreed.
Now I'm out on him.
Well, but he's right. What's she doing on the judging panel?
But he does not. Hey, now I'm suddenly really defensive of Vanessa Hudgens dancing. I don't need this random dude criticizing her.
Right. That's true. It's all about the source. Like, if you're a terrible dancer who thinks you're a good dancer and you're calling somebody else a bad dancer, that's a problem.
Yes.
It's like, I know I'm a bad dancer, so it's fine.
So in the greatest tonal shift possible, we go to Darius Hickman, who's 18 and he's from Florida, and he has just this incredible story. Do you want to take us through this? There was so much here.
Yeah. It was his mother had a drug problem, so he moved in with his aunt, and then his aunt was in an abusive relationship. And then what happened? Did she die while he was under her care, or he just like aged out of that household? I don't exactly remember.
It seems as though after many attempts of trying to escape, she died while he was still in her care.
Oh, right. And then he found his godmother and they've fell in love and they're fabulous now. What I thought was particularly interesting about this story is the idea that he took refuge in dance, which is beautiful and lovely. And he, spoiler alert, is an extraordinary dancer, particularly good jumper. Yes. But that's a thing that makes a lot of sense, right? If you have a really traumatic life, you take refuge in an art or a hobby or something that you can really invest in, and you end up becoming really, really good at that thing. What's interesting, though, is that I tend to associate those things with really solitary things, like someone who's an artist or a musician or something you can practice by yourself in your room. The thing about dancing is you have to go to class and you have to learn from somebody in a group setting, and you have to be at the same place every week on time.
At least to dance the way that he does. Certainly.
So, yeah, yes. Exactly. Like, not if he was an amazing b-boy, that'd be different. But this is like, he's so well trained. And so this is somebody had to pay for these classes, or he had to work like Danny Tidwell. He worked at the studio. It's sort of interesting for him to have gotten himself through this amount of training in his life while this stuff was going on. Is this kind of insane feat that doesn't even make logical sense? It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And his dancing is just, this was so far and away my favorite of the night. He does all of the jumps and turns that are sort of mandatory to show your technique for these kinds of auditions, but he mixes it with like these almost demonic movements, and the music is different from what you'd see from an average contemporary dancer. He could be like a backup dancer for Lady Gaga tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And he'll do these things where he'll do a conventional flexibility pose or a leap, but something will be different about it. He'll have a flexed foot, or his head will be, you know, turned to the side in just a way that's so delicate and perfect. I was obsessed with this.
See, now this is where your actual dance cred is coming in handy, because I didn't see any of that really. I was like, he's a good dancer. But I didn't necessarily, I couldn't tell you the difference between him and that kid Brandon from a few years ago, who everyone was obsessed with, or Alex Wong, or like any of the great male contemporary dancers in the show's history. So that's really interesting that you saw sort of an artistry beyond the technique.
Yeah, I just really felt like this was something different. It wasn't so out there. Then I think that worked to his benefit, because the judges like to see certain things in their technical dancers. But yeah, the judges are just standing up, holding their tickets in the air. This is no surprise to me at all.
Right. Speaking of totally out there, what did you think of this next routine? Because I actually didn't like it very much.
The twins, Anastasia and Victoria. So they are 20-year-old twins from Russia. They traveled to the United States just to audition for this. And this kind of fits with a theme that they were pushing all night of everybody being so international and from around the world, and dance unites us all. And this, you know, is a big thing for
National Dance Day. Show.
National Dance Day should be International Dance Day, apparently. And which kind of makes me nervous, because I think we've had some issues with visas in the past. I think that was
already mentioned Hawk,
but yeah. So it makes me nervous that we have people who have only been in the US for 2 days, but we shall see. I'm sure that they've had it all worked out. So they are these demonic and like creepy, weird girls, and they do this routine that's more of like almost a performance art piece than a dance. So you did not like this. What did you not like about this?
I just felt like it was very cool, I guess. I just felt like it had a bit too much storytelling and not quite enough actual dance content. I thought it was gimmicky. And I don't see these girls making it
I think they are also going to hit the Travis wall or the Tabitha and Napoleon wall. Not that that works as well, but you know what I mean? Like, I think when you separate them and you take their own storytelling away from them, I think they're going to lose all of their magic.
Yeah. And I don't think they even, I didn't quite catch what they said, but they didn't choreograph this themselves. This was choreographed for them. So that was kind of odd to me that all of the most impressive stuff was in the choreography and they didn't even come up with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know
people
really
or not there's the substance that I don't think is there.
Yeah, they do have some technical moments. Their feet are pointed when they're supposed to be pointed. They have the skill. They have good extension. But all of the best stuff about it is from their expressive faces and things like that. And there's obviously a benefit to being a performer when you're a dancer, to being able to act. But I don't know necessarily if that'll translate to being able to act if they're in like a romantic Viennese waltz or something. Mm-hmm. So I was actually, again, just so surprised that they did not go to the choreography round. I feel like these are perfect candidates to go to the choreography round, where it's like, that was a great audition, but we aren't sure if you're going to be right for this competition. Let's see more. But the judges loved it. Another standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary is emotional again.
Yeah. Well, but who knows? I think she's excited to have her job back. But yes, they also, I think they have a bit of a language barrier, which should be interesting to watch when we're confronted with actual choreography. Mm-hmm. And also, this is something I have a technical question for you. So I believe it was Nigel referred to this as modern dance.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a difference, right, between modern dance and contemporary dance. Can you tell me what that is?
Oh, boy. This is, so I will confess I'm not trained in modern at all. I'm not sure I've ever taken a modern class, maybe one. But
well, they don't do it on the show, so it's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that's kind of like, you know, pornography, like you can't describe it, but you know it when you see it. To me, modern has fewer technical tenets. So contemporary dance, you would look at it and evaluate it based on how are your lines, how are your feet, how is your, you know, the more conventional body movement. Whereas I don't think that you can evaluate modern in the same parameters, because so much of it is about the artistry and about the choreography. I will probably, my best friend here at college is a modern dancer, like that's her major, so I'm gonna go and ask her, and I'm gonna follow up with this on next week's podcast, because now I'm curious.
But really,
I will admit that I don't totally know the distinction, but this was certainly what I would characterize as modern over contemporary.
Yeah, they've definitely never done modern on the show, because I do think it is, you're right, too hard to classify, and also a little too close maybe to contemporary, but they have never done it. So it's not really that important. But
yeah, and it doesn't necessarily play too well on TV, because you can have a fantastic modern dance that doesn't have any leaps or turns or anything in it. Which I think would just be kind of confusing for the audience to be like, was that good? It's just much harder to judge on it. I don't think that there are modern competitions, at least on the same scale that there are for other styles of dance.
More into the like actual art side of it, as opposed to the almost sport side of it is really the thing, the focus on this show more, it seems.
Yeah, definitely. So this was, it was very up my alley personally. I tend to go for these kind of off the wall, maybe horror themed kinds of pieces. People know that all of my favorite drag queens tend to be this kind of thing, with Sharon Needles and Katya and Sha and Sasha. Exactly. So this was very up my alley, which means that I liked it, but it wasn't something that I thought would warrant them getting very far in this competition. It was nice though that they came all this way and they made it. I am always in favor of sending people, being more generous, because the worst thing that can happen is that you have people who aren't that great in Vegas rather than missing out on someone who could be great.
That's true, right? Like, you spend all your good Fox money. Like, they can afford, what is it? It's a flight and a hotel room.
Yeah.
And they have to share hotel rooms.
Yeah. And one of the nights they don't even need the hotel room because they're all staying up all night.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I agree with that. Send people, be generous with the Vegas tickets.
Yeah.
However, you are also right that they should have gone to choreography.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wonder if this was maybe even a half day that we saw. So we just didn't even get to the choreography round.
Yeah. I was thinking about this too, because I think, in like the next week's episode preview, they said that they were going to Vegas again. And I think that there's, I mean, LA again, I think that there is still a day two in LA, but I did notice that Vanessa Hudgens was wearing the same outfit in one of the little shots. So I think this was probably just part of a day and they didn't want to waste time on their premiere on the choreography episode.
Interesting. Next week, we're also going to New York, which I'm excited about because
yes.
At least logically to me, it makes sense that the best dancers would be in New York, right? Because that's where they go if they think they're going to get like a job on Broadway or something.
Right? Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of dance companies based out of other places, but I think you're right that New York will definitely attract a certain kind of polished dancer. And also a lot of the street dancers will likely be in New York, the best street dancers.
That's
I don't know.
True too. Yeah. And I will say that the New York City Ballet is my favorite ballet company in America. So there's that.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. So that will be exciting. I also just wanted to mention about these twins that Mary, while she's getting emotional, explains that she started in modern dance, which I didn't know.
Yeah. I find that very surprising.
Yeah. So Mary has this extreme appreciation for modern that we have never seen before. Cause like you said, we don't get any modern dance on the show.
Yeah.
Interesting. So good to know about the great Mary Murphy, who I'm so happy is back.
I'm so happy she's back. She's the heart of the show. She's just so enthusiastic and earnest. And that's exactly what we already talked about is like something we love about this show is that there's no irony to it. And she is not. Irony is not even in her vocabulary.
Yes. Yes. So any closing thoughts about this upcoming season of So You Think You Can Dance? Are you excited?
I am. I am excited. I'm excited to have it back, especially because I missed it last year. So in my head, it didn't even happen.
Yes.
I'm excited to be podcasting about it, especially with you. Very exciting stuff. Yeah, I like Mary. I am in a mode of respecting Vanessa Hudgens after her extraordinary performance as Rizzo. And yeah, I'm excited for the All-Stars. It looks good to me. I don't know. It should be fun.
Yes, I am so excited. I love this show. In my memory, like I can't even think of, I can't believe it's been 13 seasons already, but it's not like there are any seasons of the show that I'm like, barring the one that I didn't watch, obviously, like, oh, that season sucked. That was terrible. It's always great. There's always great routines. There are so many that to this day I go and Google just when I'm feeling down. Basically anything Mark Kanamura ever did, I just watch when I'm sad because he's
great.
Yes, he's one of my favorites of all time. If you have never watched So You Think You Can Dance before the season, you're just tuning in, go watch, just Google Jenna and Mark So You Think You Can Dance. It's my favorite routine of all time.
Really?
Yeah. I think that we're going to have some differences in taste.
No, we totally are. I think that was an exceptional routine. It's just such an interesting, like, I feel like that's a routine for someone who's really into dance. Whereas, you know, as someone who, if someone who was not really into dance had never seen the show, I'd be like, go watch Bleeding Love, like the door routine or like some.
Oh, the door routine is great.
I mean, Katie's one of my all time favorites. So, yeah, I one of the like really story driven, like pop song ones.
Another one that people I think know is like the Capone and what the addiction one.
Oh, Gravity. Yeah.
Yeah. People Kayla who don't watch the show, I think, know that routine.
Yeah. Any of the Mia like stuff.
Yes.
I love her. I miss her so much. If you think back to the early seasons of the show, it was Mia Michaels and Wade Robson just like holding down the fort. And ever since Tabitha and Napoleon came in, they do a bunch of really fun routines and Travis has come up and Mandy's come in and all that stuff. But like for the most part, it doesn't have that say, like some of those early seasons with Mia and Wade, they just did some unbelievable show-stopping routines.
Yeah. And there was more of the rotating seat on the judges panel, I felt was a bigger deal, where they had like Brian Friedman and Dan Carradine, these people. Like, what are they up to?
Dan Carradine, he was such a jerk, but I liked him anyway.
Yeah, well, they needed a mean guy, because I think people thought that Nigel was going to be Simon Cowell, and then he wasn't.
Yeah.
He's harsh, but he's not mean.
I also loved on the Canadian one, Blake McGrath from the first season of the American one was our...
Oh, the mattress guy.
The mattress?
He auditioned with a mattress.
Oh, did he? I don't remember that. He was my favorite on season one. I thought he should have won. He was amazing. And he's Canadian, and he did the Canadian version. He was sort of like this combination of like Travis and Nigel, and like he was like the head judge slash mentor slash toughest choreographer kind of person. Mm-hmm. And he was amazing, and he was the toughest. He was like kind of mean, but really he was rooting for them, but he was just incredibly harsh. Mm-hmm. And he was just sort of the perfect combination of that. And I remember Dan having a little bit of that, like a little bit of an edge, where you still felt like he wasn't trying to make up insults just because they were funny, but he was kind of mean, and I liked that balance a lot. So I yearn for the olden days of So You Think You Dance, specifically because I miss Mia so much.
Yeah,
but I'm excited for the new season. So it should be fun.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy to be podcasting about it. I really am. And this is just so fun for me. And thank you to any of the super fans who enjoyed that trip down memory lane with us. I just love to.
Sorry, that's such a diversion.
But it is completely fine. I love to gush about So You Think You Can Dance. But hopefully the people who are new to this show will love it just as much as I do, because I think it's something that doesn't change too much season to season.
And you know what? Go YouTube old. If we mention a routine as being amazing and you haven't seen the show, go YouTube it. They're all available, and they're all so good. And then
they're
you can
come
back
2 minutes long. Yeah, it's so
exactly.
Easy.
It's such a digestible show. And then you can tweet at us what your favorite routines are, which is amazing.
Yes. You can just watch all of the related videos and just be like me and just go into wormholes. I think I also have a thread on Twitter that I need to revive, where I have some of my favorite routines all in a thread. Just the things that when I'm having a night, I just like, I just have to watch this right now.
That's awesome. We do. So my website does awards for television every year. And for a long time, I don't know that we do them anymore. We used to have a choreography section, and my job was to like lower down the choreography list to 5. And so I would have this like giant list all year, and I'd spend a whole day just watching routine after routine after routine, whittling down to the top 5.
Dream job.
So good. Okay.
So, speaking of your job, where can we follow you, Kelly? And do you have anything that you want to tell anybody about?
So, you can find me at, all my work is at myentertainmentworld.ca.com. It's a different thing. Where I write about TV and movies and theater and all sorts of great stuff. Lots of So You Think You Dance talk on there from past seasons. I should have a very interesting reality TV interview coming out in the next week, depending if someone gets back to me, that all of you will be really into if you're RHAP fans. So keep your eye out for that.
Intrigue.
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you what it is in case it doesn't come through, but hopefully it'll be there. You can follow me on Twitter at my ent world, and we recently just got Instagram, which is very exciting. I'm just getting the hang of it.
You
can follow me at my ent world on Instagram as well. All of those are company accounts, but I run them, so all of my random "this is my opinion on the Big Brother premiere" all gonna happen there.
Yes. And you can follow me at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. And we should have, listen, the American Ninja Warrior thing is a little crazy right now. We have had, Taryn and I have both been out of town in different time zones for the last like month. And we had like 3 episodes of Teen Ninja Warrior, Celebrity Special, USA versus the World, and the premiere of American Ninja Warrior in the last 2 weeks. So we are going to try to knock it out. I think I'm recording some later tonight. We will get you some coverage. I promise. We are sorry. It has just been a constant diet of American Ninja Warrior during the worst possible time for both of us. But it will be good. Check out the American Ninja Warrior wrap up. And until next time, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week.
Bye. So you think you can take.